piping porridge. Here's to the biscuit tot. Here's to the java flowing like lava out of the coffee pot. Here's to the eggs and bacon. Here's to the waffles unique. And here's three rousing cheers for the best meal of the week. For it's Sunday morning, breakfast time, the time all men adore.
I am John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patent.
And we're the food guys. Well, we're the food guys. You know, yes. And as the food guys, we talk about food. Now, we talk about cooking sometimes. We talk about dire kinds of things that are happening to our food supply in America.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perennial topic for sure. But you know what? I don't think we often talk about eating, which is an aspect of food.
Of course it is. We haven't talked about eating habits or how they differ in families and what one might eat for a holiday or celebration or anything like that.
Yeah, for practically the entire history of the human species, we've had a feast or famine motif running through it, whereby when food was available, we ate as much of it as we could because we weren't able to preserve it.
That's right.
Various techniques evolved, of course, over a period of time. But it was only when refrigeration came on in the 20th century that we were able to preserve foods almost indefinitely. And so that feast and famine notion has abated considerably. But nonetheless, we're still left with all the basic kinds of habits that evolved. Harvest feasts.
Fermentation is also a very ancient way
of
preserving
food.
Oh, yeah,
that's an ancient one.
That continues today. Also drying, really great way of
preservation.
And salting, and that's where some fermentation can come in. Salting, drying, fermentation, all that stuff is very useful today.
I think the familial thing is particularly of interest. Everybody has different experiences with that. I grew up in a very, very large family. We weren't really wealthy people or anything. We were working class people. When you get eight kids at a breakfast table, there's a lot of different things going on there. Some eat fast. They're fast eaters.
Mm-hmm.
Others picked at their food. My mother pretended that she wasn't eating. No, no, go right ahead. I'll just sit here, you know. And then she would pick from everybody else's plate. It was astounding.
Well, she probably was watching to see who was eating what. And if they weren't really eating, then she would take from their plates. And didn't you tell me also she made biscuits all the time?
She made biscuits every morning. A big batch of biscuits, sometimes two batches. There'd be 24 biscuits or more. My dad developed techniques for stretching out the number of biscuits he would eat. He would finish with only half a biscuit and still have some syrup on his plate and say, well, I better take another biscuit.
To use up what was on his plate.
But you have all those kinds of things. Did you have similar experience?
Yes, we did. I mean, I'm thinking back to China, my first 11 years in Shanghai. Those were during the war years. So food was not very plentiful.
No.
I do remember being fed porridge, which I absolutely hated, but it was a nourishing food and I had to eat it. Also, we didn't have fresh milk. We had powdered milk called Klim, K-L-I-M, which was milk spelled backwards. It was absolutely vile. After the war, however, when food got a lot better and we moved into an apartment and then we actually had cooks. We had Chinese women. They cooked for themselves in the kitchen, but then they cooked European foods for us. But I always wanted to go and have their food. My mom and dad said, no, you can't do that because they're unlimited budgets. They got paid in rice. So we had to stop that. What I remember more than anything else is after we moved to this country and we were now celebrating Thanksgiving, then turkey was just not part of our history at all.
That's right.
But my mom bought a turkey and she roasted it as best she could. But we had pretty much Arabic and Russian meals. The Russian meals consisted of drinking lots of shots of vodka. I was too young for that. And eating zakuski, which are cold cuts and all of that. And the turkey was served as an afterthought after everybody had eaten their fill of all the other stuff. This went on for years before turkey took its proper place at our table.
Basically, eating is a familial thing. But there's other aspects of it, like the smell of the school cafeteria. When I first started going to school, I will never get that out of my mind somehow. lingers over into things like when I went into the Air Force. It's the same smell. You walk into that big chow hall.
I don't know. How is that possible? They all have the same smell.
I don't know. They always smell just about the same. I think it's because large masses of food are being prepared. I was astounded to discover how good the food was.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to revisit this.
We'll come back and revisit it. There's a lot more to talk about.
We want you to revisit, too, so be sure to tune in next time to
The Food Guys.
Guys.